I know it's a dangerous thing to overpromise and underdeliver. I'm running the risk here, but we are going to heaven in this segment. And I can tell you, I'm looking at it right now, and it's mainly a rug. It's perhaps not what you expected, but all is about to be revealed. This is a central meeting of ideas here in Islamic art particularly, and I'm delighted to be looking at this in very concrete form at the Art Gallery of South Australia. Joining me to discuss it is Rusty Kelty, who's the Assistant Curator of Asian Art at the Art Gallery of South Australia. Thank you very much for having us here. What is this?
This is what's called the Polonaise carpet in our collection, and it's actually a carpet created in Isfahan, Iran, in roughly circa 1630. And what it depicts is actually the perpetual gardens of bliss that you will see when you actually enter paradise, or Jannah, as they say. And it's absolutely beautiful. It was created by an Armenian who was living in Isfahan at the time, a Christian Armenian named Jakob. And the reason we know his name is Jakob is because there's actually a signature kind of woven into the carpet, which takes some time, took us about 20 minutes to find, and it's always a bit difficult, but once you find it, it's very clear, and it's actually written in Armenian. Now, what's very interesting about this carpet, Walid, is it's exceptionally beautiful, but not only that, but it really represents this very cosmopolitan, what was happening at the time in Iran, this very cosmopolitan society, which had Christians, Muslims, many numbers of people, as well as Europeans visiting it often, because Shah Abbas, the ruler at the time of the Safavid Empire, was quite well known in Europe for giving gifts to different European rulers and so forth. And this carpet, it is believed, actually would have been given to somebody in Europe, a ruler in Europe, as a diplomatic gift, because at this time, Europe, to a certain extent, was courting Shah Abbas, and Shah Abbas was courting them because they were both afraid of the expansion of the Ottoman Empire at the time. And so it was this beautiful back and forth of diplomatic gifts and diplomatic emissaries traveling back and forth to Isfahan and places such as Portugal and Spain, as well as other places such as Poland. And this would have actually been given to a ruler in Europe somewhere as a diplomatic gift. So you have this amazing cross-cultural experience just in a simple carpet, but yet beautiful, but simple.
What's amazing about it, let's think about that for a moment. You have one Islamic empire scared of the rise of another, therefore courting a Christian empire, and in order for that courtship to happen, it's facilitated by a rug that depicts the Islamic concept of paradise made by a Christian. Have I got that right?
You've got it right. That's complicated, isn't it?
It's amazing. But it's such an important story, really, when you think about it, because it shows the complexities of that kind of imperial history.
I mean, it's really important for us today to realize that cosmopolitanism didn't just start in, say, 1980. I mean, this has been an ongoing thing for a long, long time, and mainly after the maritime routes were opened up in the late 15th century by the Portuguese, and who essentially were looking to find Christians and find spices. That's what they said when they arrived in India. But this is spectacular. I mean, when you look at it, it has all the hallmarks of which make Islamic art so unbelievably wonderful to look at, opulent and beautiful. It has this beautiful symmetrical in the middle. There's a beautiful line which divides the carpet into two exactly symmetrical pieces. And just the opulence and the beauty of the floral imagery depicted, it's just stunning. What's often missed in this is that the carpet is actually made of silk, and it's also made of silver thread. And if you look at it right now, the silver thread has become a bit tarnished. And when you realize that that silver thread makes up probably about 50% of the actual carpet, as we were talking about earlier, you realize that 350 years ago, this carpet would have been even more sublime than it is right now.
It would have zinged, wouldn't it?
It would have been classic bling, Walid. Classic bling.
Bling with taste.
Bling with taste, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this is why these carpets were considered so wonderful. And the reason, you may ask, well, why is this called a Polonaise carpet if it was from Isfahan, Iran, and it was created in the 17th century? The reason that this name came about is a bit of a misnomer, because in 1876 in Paris, during the late 19th century, there were many international kind of expositions in Chicago and Paris, which brought all manner of arts into them and people could view them. So this was 1876. Now, a Polish prince actually displayed these carpets, and he thought they were actually created in Poland, and he dubbed them Polonaise carpets. And thus, from then on, it is stuck, and we call them Polonaise carpets. But they were created in Iran, Isfahan, specifically for trade to Europe.
So nothing's new, even cultural appropriation.
Look, you know, everybody makes mistakes, and it's from history up until the contemporary time. So,
but I understand there are also European elements to this. Is that because that was the state of the artistic endeavor at the time, or was it because it was intended for a European audience? What's going on here?
Well, this one doesn't depict it, but often these depict coats of arms for, say, different states like the Habsburg Empire and so forth. Those elements were integrated specifically because this was a diplomatic gift. And obviously, if you're courting somebody, you definitely want to have their coat of arms on it so that they know it's theirs. You know, these are very important things. This carpet does not have those, but there is a sense, although you can't point directly at it, that this was created for a foreign market. It's a little, if you look at carpets of the same time, it has a bit of European taste to it. So you get the feeling that possibly, you know, there was some European influence on it.
Yeah, it feels that way. When I look at it, it doesn't look like it's something that is exotic necessarily. There's a familiarity about it. Mm. Is that because there was a natural fusion that's going on between the two artistic cultures?
Possibly. I mean, there was a lot of people moving across borders at this time and before that. So it could be that there was possibly some iconography introduced. We don't particularly know, but there is a sense that this departs a bit from the fantastic rug tradition in Iran that was happening much before this time.
Now I'm thinking, I'm going to make a call out to the listeners. We see if we can get some money together and maybe we can just purchase it and then just put it on display at the ABC. What sort of budget would we be looking for here to take this home?
Waleed, I don't think you'll be able to afford it.
Really? No, are you sure?
I don't think so.
You're talking to the ABC here. There's just money everywhere.
Look, I know the ABC is powerful and I cower in their power, but you know, this is a very highly valued object in our collection. The price is not really important. So the actual place it holds in our collection is of the most importance.
What makes this rug particularly so important within the context of the collection?
Well, because our Islamic collection is really, over the past 10 years, our Islamic collection from Indonesia, Turkey, Iran has really started to blossom. And this is the only fantastic example of 17th century rug making from Iran that we have. And it's not only that, it's just the Polonaise rugs in general throughout collections, which are held in collections throughout the world, are just considered these very important style of rugs that really bridge the gap between two cultures, which we often think of were totally separate and totally at odds. Mm. So it's important in a conceptual sense, just the fact that these were made for a European market in an Islamic country. It kind of blows up our ideas of separation that we often feel between countries and different cultures. So I think of that as probably its most important aspect. Although looking at it, spectacular, and you can agree with me, it's stunning.
It is stunning. And what is stunning about it is particularly, so a lot of the colors are faded, but there's a particular blue here that pops out because clearly that is hanging on for dear life. That's not going anywhere. So it's quite striking in that way. It has these highlights that I suppose initially it wouldn't have had, or it would have had different highlights.
Well, Waleed, if you and I were 350 years old, minus any kind of reconstructive surgery, we would look much, much worse. So we have to say that to begin with. But
that's absolutely right. Although, apparently, if we were made out of cobalt blue, we might look all right.
Well, that's what the thought is the blue is the most kind of striking and evocative. And it's there are a number of agents or natural pigments that could have been used for this. Cobalt blue is one of them, which people most recognize in Ming blue and white Chinese porcelain, which, funny enough, was actually really instigated by Iranian pottery, where cobalt blue was believed to be first used, then introduced to China, and the Chinese made Ming blue and white specifically for the Islamic market.
Thank you so much for taking us through this. It is stunning carpet. It's been great to have the chance to look at it, and it's just one bit of all sorts of things in this exhibition, including some wonderful Ottoman tiling, it looks like, over there, which is fantastic as well. So it's a great exhibition. Thank you very much for having us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Come back anytime.
Anytime. Right. I'm coming back anytime. That's the final word.
You have my mobile, Waleed. Anytime.
Okay. Rusty Kelty is the assistant curator of Asian art at the Art Gallery of South Australia. The exhibition, by the way, is called Paradise on Earth, appropriately titled. It's showing until January 2015. So you've got a little bit of time to get here, and it'll be really, really hot in January if you come to Adelaide. So it's probably a good way to get out of the heat as much as anything. We'll have more details on our website, so make sure you check that out. Rusty Kelty, our correspondent for Histrionics this week. Drawing room time now.